The WYSL stations present an hour of truth for the battered but proud people of the Empire State. From the financial and entertainment epicenter of New York City to the sleeping and empty small cities and towns of upstate, which once bustled with manufacturing, mining, and farming. We all know from inspiration, history, and nature, we deserve a return to the success and growth of generations past, a birthright being squandered by corruption in Albany, and the depredations of an insecure, scheming mountebank posing as governor, who loathes both us and himself. As liberty beckoned to enslaved peoples behind the Iron Curtain via American broadcasts after World War II, we now say, believe, rise, and join us. Welcome to Radio Free New York.
Hey guys, welcome to Radio Free New York. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Andrew Hollister, and I'm joined in studio by Bob Savage.
Greetings to all.
So, for those of you who caught the show on Friday, you might have noticed that I ducked out of the studio second half of the show. I totally meant to tell you guys that that's why Kevin was there and forgot to. We just got going, talking, going back and forth. I totally forgot to let you guys know. So, so the reason I left the station is my wife was having a minor surgery, and I called up Kevin and said, hey, do you want to, you know, sit in on the show with Bob here and fill in for me, which I'm happy that he did, and sounds like you guys had a lot of fun while I was gone.
Yeah, we did. We covered a lot of ground. It was, Kevin's a hail fellow, well met, and I can't remember all the topics, a lot of state stuff. I mean, look, with this administration... There's always material.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And it's like every single day, more and more stuff just rolls in. They try to do something different.
Some of it's bizarre, bizarro world, too. Like the tractor trailer ban and, mm-hmm. and Cuomo climbing onto the running board and berating truckers.
Yeah. To me, that's just showmanship. That's
what the... That's what this administration's all about.
It's like every year you see a picture of him. He's out hand pushing somebody's car out of a snowdrift, and I always wonder how they come up with that. Does he have somebody there on staff whose job it is to like find a car or maybe get one stuck? I don't know.
Oh, he's got people on staff that find all kinds of photo ops and mm-hmm. marketing angles and what have you.
Yeah. So that's definitely interesting. Want to thank everybody for joining the show, and also our people online. We are streaming live right now on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. I see people are starting to flow in. I'm gonna fire up the chat here. That way, if you guys have questions or comments, if you guys want to post them, I'll be able to check them. I see Michelle and Dan are joining us, and more are coming in as we speak. So thank you guys so much, and of course, thank you to the listeners on 1040 AM, 92.1 FM,
and 95.5 FM.
Yep, it's becoming a pretty lengthy list. Oh, and Albert just joined us here on YouTube, so thanks for joining us here. And if you guys want to call into the show, give us a call. We're going to talk about a couple things today, one of which is going to be education and probably specifically financial literacy. So give us a call if you want. That's 346-3000, area code 585-346-3000. Give us a ring. We'd be happy to have you on air here and give us your comments. Let us know what you're thinking. So before we move on to that, though, it's pretty nice outside.
Love it. Yeah, spring preview.
Yeah.
Appreciate
it. It's really nice. Now, I heard the weatherman say it's going to be like 30 again tomorrow.
Yeah, back to reality. But I mean, 30. We can take 30.
Yeah. 30 is pretty warm compared to negative 25, which is what we had last week.
We had a 73-degree wind chill swing
yeah.
from last Wednesday to today.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, yesterday I went for a hike and I was like, should I be wearing shorts maybe? You know,
thought crossed my mind. Yeah, let me tell you. Yeah.
And then today it was on my way to the station, it was like 61 degrees. And I was like, holy crap, that feels amazing.
Yeah, 60 right now. Checking the temp.
Yep. So that feels pretty good. For those of you who might want to support Radio Free New York, I know since it's so nice outside, you're probably not thinking of a sweatshirt or a hoodie. But we do have a Radio Free New York hoodie that you can buy. Link is on the feed. And if you guys want to support the show, that's one way to do it. For those of you who are watching, you can actually see I'm wearing a Radio Free New York t-shirt here. So that is, yep.
Look at that.
Yeah. So
we've got swag now on this show. That's great.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. That's one way you guys can help support the show. You know, that'll definitely help us keep things going here. So we're just going to jump right into education, I think, because I had a conversation with an organization this last week about the Rochester City School District. And for those of you who typically listen to the show, you know that's my home school district. That's where I graduated from high school. And you know that we've got a lot of problems there, a lot of them. And I was working with this organization. We were talking about how can we make things better as private individuals who are not elected to the school board, we're maybe not employees in the school district. A lot of people, they always it comes down to funding a lot of times, or at least that's what people think. They think, well, maybe if we could throw more money at this one program or throw money here or there. And we're just talking about ideas. And one of the things that I really want to see happen in education, and this is statewide, this is a goal that I have, not just for the Rochester City School District, but I think it's a great place to start. And hopefully we can expand this to the rest of the state, is the idea of financial literacy being taught in school. I talked on our Monday show about how I went through homeschool, public school, and private school. And I started talking about some of my experiences in homeschool. Well, today I want to talk a little bit about private school and how private school was the only place I got any type of financial literacy training at all. I think it was the only place I learned cursive, too, if I think about that. Which
that long ago? Really? They were not teaching cursive in public schools?
No, most of
what year did you graduate from high school?
07.
2007. So, wow.
So about 12 years ago. There was no cursive there. Most kids had no idea what cursive even was at that point. But also home ec was totally gone. Yeah. Home ec was totally gone. There was no type of financial literacy. And this, I think, is a big problem because I think we've had generations and generations of families who maybe as society, we think you would learn financial literacy at home. But the truth is, it's missed generations at this point where, you know, the parents don't know anything about financial literacy, and maybe the grandparents don't either. So it's not in school at all, but it's assumed that you would learn it at home, and it's not being taught there either.
Yeah, if you know anybody at the bank, these younger people, I mean, I'm not going to try to zero in on one generation, but they go to the ATM and they do a balance inquiry and they think that's how much money's in their account.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And they don't necessarily know that there could be a check pending. I work with somebody who owns a small business in the area and checked their bank account one day and was like, oh, I have money in it. And then was really upset and said they had to go to the bank and figure out the bank had made a mistake because come Monday, their balance was negative. And the bank had to explain to them, well, you wrote checks during the week and they didn't get cash till Friday. So the money didn't come out till Friday. And it was really interesting because this person didn't even totally understand that. Like the bank was like, you don't remember writing these checks? Oh, yeah, I remember writing them. Well, that means the money's coming out of your account. You know, it was a very, just sad exchange. And this is, you know, a full-grown adult running a small business and didn't fully grasp that concept yet.
Well, you know, if you don't understand how your checking account works, that's one thing. But if you're trying to run a business and you don't understand how a debit account works, you're in a lot of trouble.
That's what was like very surprising about the situation is that, and this is like a really small service based business. You know, it's a one man show. He goes, you know, home to home type thing. So I don't know what his background is, but I knew that that was confusing to him. He didn't understand it. And I want to share with you guys a real brief story here about when I went to Franklin High School. So for those of you who may say, wait, I thought you graduated from Wilson. I did graduate from Wilson, but my freshman year, I actually spent a few weeks in Franklin High School because the way City School District works, you actually apply to schools. You get to apply to three. You get to rank them from your top choice to your bottom choice. And if you get into the one you want, great. If not, well, you get into one of those other two. So I actually ended up in Franklin. They had what I thought was going to be a technology track. The way they marketed it, it wasn't at all. It was like journalism and media, but it was like new technology media. And they really, like, I thought it was going to be computers. Wasn't at all. But one thing that I'll never forget is since the years before that, I was homeschooled, and in private school, I didn't have the credits I needed to be in ninth grade math. So they basically put me in seventh grade math in my freshman year. And I was sitting here with a bunch of other freshmen, and some were even seniors at this point in the seventh grade
in
math class.
In a seventh grade math class?
Yep. Yep. So, because this school didn't even have seventh grade or eighth grade. So everybody was ninth grade or above. And as I was sitting there, the professor was like, okay, we're going to do multiplication. And he put 6 times 4 on the board. And I sit there and I write down the answer because I had memorized my multiplication tables. The girl next to me had no idea. She was counting on her hands. And I thought she was acting out. I thought she was just trying to be funny. And I said, what are you doing? You know, stop that. And she's like, no, I don't know how to multiply. And
OMG.
Yeah, and I am sitting here thinking, foolishly thinking, that now she's messing with me. You know, she's trying to make a joke out of this. And I'm like, come on, stop. And she's like, no, really, I've always used a calculator my whole entire life. I've never learned to multiply.
So scary. Yeah. We'll be back on Radio Free in New York.
We'll treat you like family at Mark's Pizzeria. We'll treat you like family at Mark's Pizzeria. Great pizza, fresh and good. Simply the best in your neighborhood. Come in, we'll get to know you. We'll call you by name. We can bring it to you any time of the day. Mark's Pizzeria, we'll treat you like family.
This is Dom Genova, owner of Genesee Valley Motors in Avon, your no-nonsense car dealer. Well, we're your no-nonsense truck dealer, too, selling Rams and Fords up to the mightiest that they make. And we have a shop with Master Techs open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., 6 days a week, even Saturday, so you can get your truck serviced when it's not billing hours for you. You may not be used to that. Visit RochesterWorkTrucks.com. That's RochesterWorkTrucks.com.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
All right, guys, we are back here on Radio Free New York. I'm your host, Andrew Hollister, and Bob Savage is here in studio with me as well. And we're just talking financial literacy right now, and just talking about my experience growing up and the various education systems, what I learned, what I didn't learn, and then I want to talk a little bit, if we have time, about what I hope we can fix as a community together and what things students would learn. So, Bob, I don't know, did they ever teach financial literacy at all? Was that a thing when you went to school? I might be talking about something that just didn't exist. I'm not sure.
I don't think they taught financial literacy per se. I'm trying to think back. I know that I think we were taught the basics of how a checking account works, mm-hmm. and how savings accounts work, and the economic, you know, the consumer economic structure. And this was in an era where there was not the prevalence of plastic credit cards.
Sure.
When I was young, but there were a lot of other practical skills that were taught in school. And I know for a fact that that's none of those things are taught anymore. Like we were talking about shop class, or maybe in your school at one time it was called manual arts. Then there was home ec, which is about cooking and home management and you know, how to do laundry and so on and so forth, which, of course, when I was in school was exclusively the province of the girls. And in shop class, it was all the guys. But that's all gone now, right?
Yeah. So home ec, I was one of the last years to have home ec. In fact, when I went to, I think it was ninth grade, that's when they announced no more home ec, no more funding for it, no more this, no more that. And it's interesting because I learned a lot in home ec. Cooking was something that our family always did together. Both my parents are chefs, so that was something that I didn't necessarily pick up, per se. I mean, I learned some additional things, but it was something that was very prevalent in my household. Whereas other people, I mean, they learned so much. It wasn't just Easy Mac for life for these guys, you know? And they learned, like, you know, about vegetables and what you boil and what you roast and what you grill and you know, all of that. But something that's interesting that we learned in home ec that surprises people a lot, like every time I mention it, is we actually learned how to sew. All of the guys had to learn how to sew in home ec. So we made, you know, pillows and pants and stuff. And constantly when there's an issue, I actually own a sewing machine, believe it or not. I use it very rarely. But when somebody's like, oh, yeah, there's something wrong with this, I'm like, oh, we can just fix that. They're like, what do you mean? I don't have to buy new clothes? I'm like, no, like, you just sew it. That's how it was made originally. And it blows people's mind. I think there's a stigma, too. They're like, well, you're a guy. Like, how would you know how to sew? I'm like, I took the same class as everybody else. But that stuff is gone now. It's totally gone. And what you said, the idea of balancing a checkbook, that's actually what I learned in private school. And none of the other schools, not homeschool, not public school, there wasn't really even discussion of it or a thought of it. And I think we started in, it was like third grade, I think, is when that first started.
Wow, and that's great.
Yeah. And to me, that's like amazing. I wish schools did that, because we all got like a little fake checkbook. And the teacher had...
Yeah, that's what I remember.
Yeah, a little fake checkbook with a balance sheet and everything. Yeah, and I think the teacher had, like, a basket of toys or something. Each of them was worth a certain amount. And I think it was your test scores were deposits into your bank account. So there was also a little gamification of doing good in class, right?
Yeah, earning. You know? It's the notion of earning something.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, if you got an 80 on your test that week, you know, 80 fake dollars went into your bank account. And if you did better, you got 95. Oh, now you got 15 more. You know, and those were deposits into your bank account.
Sorry about the loud, large piece of farm equipment driving by on South Lima Road.
Yep. Yeah, well, so nice outside. The farmers they're moving equipment, everything.
And we got the windows open.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that there's a plethora of mundane kinds of skills that you really need to have to get by in life. And I think that not only should people be told financial fundamentals, I think they should be taught how to unstick a drain. Let's say that you've got a plugged toilet or a plugged a sink drain.
Yeah.
I think that you should know how to change a tire on a car.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, these are all life skills, you know, and I'm not going to I love math. So math comes very easy to me. It's probably why I'm successful with my small business, because numbers make sense. But there's parts of math that we, as a part of New York State curriculum, force on children to graduate that the vast majority of us don't use. Think things like trigonometry, for example, sine, cosine, like that sort of stuff, and even things that you learn in chemistry class. Now, the last time I talked about this, one of my friends fired off a message really quick. He was like, well, I'm a machinist. I use that every day. And I'm like, yes, you do, but the rest of
you're a machinist.
You know, yeah, and that's perfect for your track of work. You need to know that. But the vast majority of people need to know how to balance a checkbook. Really, really simple. The idea of a budget. I can't tell you how many friends I've sat down with and explained to them that a budget is just the money you take in and the money that goes out and what is or isn't left afterwards, and help them set that up. But there was no financial foundation there. They didn't learn at home. They didn't learn it in school. And as a result, they're just losing a lot of money every month because they're living way outside of their means, and they don't even know. They don't realize because it's just a basic fundamental. Changing a tire is a great example. I mean, so many people, especially with some of the services like unclogging a drain or changing a tire, people are so afraid that they're going to break it because they've just never done it before. They don't know what tools they are. They don't even know that there's tools in the back of their car usually, you know, that would do that, and that there's a spare even.
Well, that's rapidly changing, too. There's a lot of cars don't have spares anymore because what they do is they give you that can of easy inflator that seals whatever holes in the tire for 25 miles, and then you limp to the nearest service station.
Yeah,
and then you have the four-wheel drive systems. Well, actually, my Jeep has got that, where you can't really put a spare on because the rotational speed is going to be different because the other three tires have got wear on them.
Yep.
So, that's changing. But still, if you have a car that where you actually can put a spare on, a full-size spare, you should know how to do that safely.
Yeah.
You should also understand basic fundamentals about how your car works.
Yep.
You know, how it needs to have oil and how it needs to have antifreeze and how the basic principles, right?
Yeah.
And what symptoms to look for when something's going wrong?
Yeah, actually, in Czech Republic, it's interesting you mentioned that. So, for those who are wondering, why do I know this about Czech Republic? That's where my wife's from. So we travel there every so often. Her family is there. For you to get a driver's license there, you have to be able to point out like where the spark plugs are under the hood. You have to know like what the brake fluid is, engine oil, coolant. You also have to be able to drive a standard and a few other things.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, you should know how to drive a manual transmission.
Yeah. So just a vastly different thing. I think they can't even test for the license until they're 18. But that's also the drinking age. So it's interesting. Like, they're like, yeah, this is adult level for everything, not just like, you know, 16 for driving, then 18 for, you know, firearms, and 21 for drinking. It's kind of like, you're 18, you're an adult, now you can do the adult things.
What's the DWI threshold over there?
I think it's 0%. So
if you've had a drink.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. But the thing that's different there is, A, they have really good public transportation, so people have no problem leaving their vehicle behind. And B, you can call the police and ask for a ride, or you can walk, usually, to the local police station, and they will give you a free breathalyzer before you drive to make sure you're okay. So it's a little bit different culture.
Well, if the threshold is zero, you already have the answer, don't you?
Yeah, well, you know, it's yeah, I don't know. But that's what people do. They go,
drink like 3 hours ago. You might be wondering, is it still okay?
Yeah, so people, like, they're leaving the pub, you know, and they'll be like, oh, I'm just going to walk up the street. I'm going to get breathalyzed real quick, and then maybe I'll drive home, maybe I won't. Like, and that's just how they do things. It's normal. It's like nobody looks at them and goes, oh, you just had one beer. Like, you know, they're like, it's just like culture there. So it's very different. A couple comments came in online here. I've got, you know, Albert mentions, if I can scroll here without shooting by it, that they had home ec in high school. They learned how to balance checks, both IRA and 401k.
Wow.
Yeah, he graduated in 2008. And his relatives from class 2012 learned it as well. So, Albert, if you don't mind commenting, let us know what school you went to or what school district, because that's amazing. I would love to see that in more schools. So, and then Michelle says, how about a class called Life? You know, replace home ec, do banking, easy cooking, owning a car, a house, and upkeep. A house and upkeep is another one.
Oh, yeah.
That really skips over people. And I think it's almost exacerbated by the fact that so many people rent.
So few people can afford a mortgage.
Yeah. Yeah. So the mortgage, the way mortgages are, makes it hard to own a home. And part of that, I wouldn't actually blame on the mortgage. I would blame it more on credit, which we can talk about credit in the next segment. But the whole idea that so many people don't ever own a home. Like, I know generations of people who have rented, which means you have generations of people who have never owned a home, which means you have generations of people who have never had to upkeep a home. There's always been somebody else. There's nothing wrong with that if that's the life you want to live.
Lots of times, if you rent a property, the landlord will expect you to maintain it. That does happen.
Kinda, it depends,
if you have a low rent, and it's the understanding can very well be okay, but you know, as stuff breaks, you have to fix it.
Yeah, there are agreements like that. A lot of people that I'm thinking of, they live in complexes where they have like on staff handymen and things like that. They even replace the light bulbs for you. So they kind of go this whole stretch without ever having to do any type of maintenance at home, and then they go, you know what? I want to own some assets. I want to change, you know, the financial direction of my life. They get home, and sure enough, they have no idea, you know, their roof needs to be replaced. Their furnace needs maintenance once, maybe twice a year. That sink can clog, and you're the one responsible for unclogging it. Like,
can't just call maintenance.
Exactly. So we're going to take a quick break here. We'll be back in a minute. And when we come back, I'll let you know what school district Albert came from. So we'll be back here in a moment.
And Andrew will also let you know where you can get your super cool Radio Free New York t-shirt. Yes, we have swag here on the program on WYSL.
You're listening to the voice of Liberty. WYSL. AM 1040 Avon Rochester, FM 92.1 Rochester, FM 95.5 Spencerport, and WYSL1040.com everywhere.
At University Eye Specialists, I see many patients who suffer from dry, irritated, or itchy eyes. Sometimes these symptoms are often due to severe dry eye. Over-the-counter eye drops often help, but sometimes dry eye may require treatment with prescription medication. Dry eye is a very treatable medical condition that should be taken very seriously. The health of your eyes is very important to us. Please feel free to call any one of our local offices for an appointment.
In America, we are living longer, healthier lives. The longer we live, the more likely we are to develop eye conditions such as glaucoma, macular degeneration, and diabetic eye disease. If you are over the age of 40, it's important to have a thorough eye examination in order to identify vision-threatening conditions at an early stage. At University Eye, we have the technology and experience to screen for and to treat glaucoma, macular degeneration, and diabetic retinopathy. At University Eye, your vision is our mission.
Phone 1-800-724-0938.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
The intrepid Bob D'Angelo just stuck his head in the studio here during the break and said, Soccer Sam Fantuzzo, you know Soccer Sam, the guy behind Salvatore's Pizza, developed Salvatore's Pizza as a high school home ec project.
There you go. So that's a great example. Think of all the pizza we're missing out on by, you know, getting rid of home ec. So before we went on break, we were talking about financial literacy, talking about home ec class, like all this stuff missing in school district. And Albert, who's listening to us on YouTube, commented in and said, hey, you know, I graduated class of 2008 and some family members graduated class of 2012. And we learned balancing a checkbook, IRAs, 401ks, everything in home ec. And he said that he's in Middle Country School District in Suffolk County. So that's amazing. That's great. I would love to see that across the state. I would love to see that, especially in the Rochester City School District and in other districts all across the state. That's amazing because that gives people that financial foundation to be successful in life. It's kind of and it's not overly complicated stuff even. It's pretty simple. Money comes in, money goes out, you know, addition, subtraction. And if that's if that's something you struggle with, which there are people that struggle with it. I have a family member who is dyslexic, and numbers, adding and subtracting, extremely difficult. But thankfully, we have cell phones, we have, you know, calculators. You know, there's ways to help with some of those struggles as well. So that's really great. He says, senior year in economics class, they played the stock market game. So that's pretty cool as well. Now, Bob actually alluded to, we have some Radio Free New York t-shirts and hoodies. Where can you guys get them? Really, really simple. You go to Amazon.com. So if you've got the Amazon app on your phone or you fired up on your computer, you just search in the search bar Radio Free New York. They have Prime shipping. You can get the t-shirts. You can get the hoodies. I know it's really warm outside right now, so you're probably thinking the hoodie's not the right way to go. It's going to get cold again soon. So the sweatshirt will definitely help keep you nice and warm there. And that's just one way that you guys can help support the show in two ways. One, financially, but two, to help let other people know about the show, to promote the show so more people tune in, more people listen. The thing that I was talking about was the idea of having a fake bank account in third grade, and the test scores were kind of like your deposits, and then once a week, probably on Friday or something, you actually got to write a check, and you wrote a check for whatever that prize was, you know, a rubber bouncy ball, a little light-up flash thing, maybe a cool, you know, Mickey Mouse pen or something like that. Actually, I think we had pencils because we had to fill in Scantron sheets. So I think they were number two pencils with, you know, different characters and designs on it. But the point being, it was kind of like gamification. It actually encouraged students to do well in school. And what they didn't realize is they were learning a life lesson that would carry them through the rest of their lives, really. And the other thing we learned was we learned cursive. We learned how to sign our names on the checks.
It's a real time saver if you know how to write in cursive. Yeah. And that's what the whole system was designed for. It's designed for speed.
Yeah, so you don't have to pick up your pen or pencil off the paper.
It takes much longer to print.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I will admit 110% my penmanship is terrible.
Well, most people's are because they hurry it.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm not good at writing in print or cursive. In fact, I don't think you can tell the difference between my print and my cursive. And it's kind of like some print mixed with some cursive. And that I really just think is because as I was growing up, computers are becoming more prevalent and we wrote a whole lot less. I look at other people who, when they grew up, computers weren't really in schools. They maybe had typing class with typing.
We had typing. And because by the time I took the typing class when I was a senior in high school, I had already worked in radio in newsrooms. Mm. I had learned to type long ago.
Yeah.
So I sat down and started like clattering away, and I noticed, all of a sudden I noticed everybody in the line of typewriters who was sitting next to me was staring at me.
Oh, nice. There you go. Yeah, you're well ahead.
Those are manual typewriters too, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Those are not electric typewriters.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've got a nice, I think it's a 1950 typewriter. It's all manual. It's got the nice little case and stuff, and I have it because I'm thinking someday I'll actually type something on it, you know. And
I love typing on a manual typewriter. You get this great feedback.
Yep, you have the mechanical keys, and it's interesting because people really enjoy that feeling to the point where they buy mechanical keyboards. So they buy mechanical keyboards for computers so that when they type, they have that tactile feedback.
I didn't know such a thing existed.
Oh, yeah. It's huge in the gaming community, actually. And people spend crazy money. You know, we're talking $80+ for a mechanical keyboard just so they can have that nice tactile response and a nice little click you get when you hit the button. So what do I think the answer could be for financial literacy in schools? Because being a person who's very conservative with their money, very libertarian-minded as far as government spending, you guys all know that my idea is not let's increase funding so we can fund a program for financial literacy in schools. My idea is always going to be centered around how can we use the private market, the private industry to fuel and fill this need. And the way I've thought about this is there's a lot of banks out there who want customers. And especially where I live in the city, less than half the population has a bank account right now. Now, that's not going to be the same, you know, in, say, Avon or maybe, like, areas around Buffalo. That's probably not even the same in, like, Brighton or Greece, to be honest. It's kind of an isolated incident. But it's a starting point. It's an idea of if, say, we'll say Bank of America or Citizens Bank or ESL. ESL is probably a better choice because they're a local community bank. If they were given the opportunity to come in and have their representatives teach financial literacy to students, the importance of understanding how budget, how deposits work, how withdrawals work, these kids would go home, they'd start talking about it, and the families that don't have bank accounts, if they decide to have a bank account, what are they going to do? Who do they know? Well, they know ESL because that's who sent in the teacher to teach that class, the bank representative. And I don't think we should stop here. I don't think budgeting is enough. I don't think learning how to write a check is enough and understanding debits and credits is enough. I think kids need to know about bank fees, you know, overdraft account fees, and then interest. We need to educate people on interest. One of the biggest things that I see that people do that is just so silly to me is they put a large sum of money into a savings account. Let's just call it, round numbers, $10,000. And the interest on that is like 0.002%.
You earn 4 cents every quarter in interest.
Yeah, yeah. You earn this minimal amount, but then
actually, some banks charge you, you know, for holding onto your money.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. If you don't do, like, say, 6 transactions a month, yeah, then they charge you, like, a $10 service fee or something. So people, they put, say, $10,000 in a savings account. They earn pennies of interest. Well, they have a car loan or a student loan that they're getting maybe 6 to 11% interest, and they're making minimum monthly payments on that. And I'm just, like, mind blown. If you do the math, you're like, you're losing like $90 a month so that you can earn a fraction of a penny by saving that money. Now, here's the thing. This sounds like maybe I'm saying you shouldn't save money. That's not the case either. I think people should try to save 1 to 2 months worth of income and have that set aside for an emergency. The way the economy is up and down consistently, people should have money set aside. But if you're setting aside money with the idea that you're going to gain interest off of it, you're going to retire off of that, you should really see if you have debt at a higher interest rate and pay that off first. And I think that that's one of the things that happens. Students are pushed usually straight from high school into college. And when that happens, they sign their name, usually in print because they don't have cursive anymore.
No cursive, right. Yep.
For student loans that they don't understand how interest works, that it's going to take them in some cases 30 years to pay off, if not more. And at the end of the semester, they have what they call a refund on your student loans. And that refund is you took out a loan for more than you needed for school. And the idea is maybe you spend some of that money on books. Usually they bundle in your college food plan and your stay in the dorms and all that. So a lot of people, they have $3,000 left over. And instead of taking that money and putting it back to pay off that loan, they take a trip to Europe. They go to Spain. They go to Italy. They go wherever. And the term I hear them use is what terrifies me. It's free money, is what they say. Free money.
Oh,
I'm going
gosh.
To Europe. And they don't realize that it's not free at all.
It's your money.
It's your money at 9% interest for the next 30 years. And that trip to Europe that you thought was so affordable at $3,000 or whatever you spent costs you $12,000 by the time you paid it off when you're like 50, you know? These are the types of things that kids need to learn before they sign on the dotted line. They need to learn that in school.
Yeah, and also, let's say that you've got an entry-level job. Maybe you're making $12 an hour. What's the minimum now?
think it's 1140 an hour right now.
1140, is that where it is now?
Close
okay.
to 12.
All right, so let's say that you're making, you're doing okay. Let's say you're making 13, 14 bucks an hour. So you're doing better. So then you see this pair of shoes, girls, and you go, wow, those shoes are really awesome for 90 bucks. You got to make the calculus in your head. How long did I have to work to earn the 90 bucks to have those shoes? How often am I going to wear them? Am I going to get that amount of use out of them?
Yep. You know, and that's funny. That's something I do with friends and family often is and sometimes just joking around with them, you know, but other times serious. Like, oh, I'm going to buy this cool thing. I'm like, cool. How many hours is that? Because that's how I look at everything.
Yeah, the credit card. So, it's, you know, you've got $500 left on your credit line. So just put it on the plastic. But that's a day's work to get that $90 pair of shoes.
Yep. And it might be totally worth it to that person.
Right.
I mean, they might be totally fine with that. You know, there's things I look at and, you know, sometimes I'll look at, oh, you know, I want to go to this restaurant. They've got some really cool menu item or something. I want to try it out. And I'm like, how many hours do I have to work to pay off what this is going to be? And sometimes I go, you know what? I'm hungry and that looks really good. I don't mind working 2 hours for that, you know? And then there's other times I'm like, oh, no. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go home, make myself some lunch or some dinner.
Is it Easy Mac? Is that what it is?
Yeah, you know, I don't do the pasta thing. But, yeah, Easy Mac, a lot of people do. But really, if you want to save money, you got to go ramen, apparently, you know, because that's like 17 cents a pot.
There are actually ramen restaurants now.
Really? Okay. Huh. That's pretty cool. We're going to take a quick break here, folks, and we will be back in a moment on Radio Free New York.
From Avon Feed and Supply, introducing Dry Shod waterproof footwear. Dry, comfortable feet, even on those warmer days. Avon Feed has a big selection of Dry Shod for men and women, offering fully flexible athletic shoe sizing for great fit and maneuverability. Its exclusive insulation breathes and keeps you warm without bulk, and you'll stay dry top to bottom with state-of-the-art waterproofing. While you're at Avon Feed, find everything for your pet, from feeding bowls to toys, leads, collars, beds, crates, and tie-outs. Avon Feed and Supply has with a big pet chain stores will never have Tim Cole and his great knowledgeable staff. And if you think you'll save money at that pet superstore, well, think again. While you're at Avon Feed, don't forget the two-legged pets with River Rat Thousand Island cheese and great flavors, including hard to find mean and nasty, plus once again nut butters, Nunday mustards, and Rickles pickles. Open weekdays 9 to 6, Saturday 9 to 4. Avon Feed and Supply, West Main Street at the bottom of the hill, just west of the Circle.
You're listening to Radio Free New York
on the WYSL stations.
By the way, another financial literacy tidbit that you might find useful. Don't take a lot of taxes out of your paycheck. Don't like claim the minimum deduction so that claim a lot of deductions so you get a lot of money withheld. See, I'm not paid that way, so I have to stop and think about how it works. But I mean, because you're just giving a tax-free loan to the government.
Yeah, yep. And if you think at least a little bit along the lines of the way I do, you probably think the government doesn't use your money very wisely to begin with. So why would I want to give them a loan interest-free of my money to do things I don't want them to do with it? So, yeah, no, I totally agree. I always strive to, my goal is, and some people feel differently about this. I guess we can talk about both perspectives. My goal is I want to owe as close to $100 as possible with both state and federal, because I know I could use my money way, way better than the government will, whether that's to pay off debt, to invest it, to just save it, or to spend on something that's not really worth anything, but it's important to me, you know?
Yeah, everybody does that from time to time, but, you know, you don't want to be in this category. Woohoo! I'm getting $4,500 back! Yay!
Yeah, yeah. Well, and a lot of people, it's indicative of that problem that they haven't learned from a young age how to manage their money. Because I have friends who say, well, I like getting a tax return back because then I have this money and I can use it to buy something I need. And my mind always goes to, but you could have had it all year round. But for them, they don't know how to save it. They don't. They see money in, money out. Oh, there's more money there. And they'll spend it instead of saving it or paying off their debt. So, yeah, it's a big issue, but I see a lot of people like that. And it's funny when I tell them I try to get to a place where I owe, their eyes, like they open up so big. They're like, why would you want to owe? Don't you want money back? And I'm like, no, you're thinking of it wrong. You're thinking of it totally wrong. I don't want them to have my money all year round. I know I can do better with it. So I want to welcome Greg, Sarah, David, Emmanuel, and Sean to the show as well. Just saw you guys pop in. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We're talking about financial literacy. We're talking about good ways to be better with your money and things that we wish were taught in school so that people can just be better throughout life. Just giving people the basics that, you know, families maybe don't know because they weren't taught, whether that was by their parents, their grandparents, or the school system. They just didn't learn it. And as a result, we now have generations of people that don't understand budgeting. They don't understand interest. And a lot of people, they don't understand credit at all. Actually, I think nobody understands credit. I don't think there's a single person who really understands how credit works. But there is the ability to be better off and to have a basic understanding because there's things that cost you money in life. And if your credit is better, it's cheaper, like a car loan, like a mortgage. You know, when you have a good credit score, your mortgage could cost you literally tens of thousands of dollars less in interest over the life of your mortgage.
Yeah, your car payment could be $100 less.
Yeah, car payment could be $100 less. What I found was very interesting is that car insurance is also tied to your credit score.
All kinds of things are tied to your credit score.
Employers, although I think they're trying to make this illegal in New York, no surprise there. Some employers run a credit check on you before hiring you because they want to see if you're at risk or not. Would you steal something?
Admissions boards in colleges look at your credit score.
Yep. A lot of federal agencies, especially law enforcement, it's tied to your credit score there because they want to know, are you at risk for being bribed? And so, you know, these are sort of the types of things I'm talking about that, you know, somebody from a bank could come in and teach kids once a week. You know, at a young age, you know, you have a week on, you know, budgeting, a week on, well, probably a week on just first understanding what a bank account is, you know, because some people don't even think about what a bank account actually is. It's just a place for you to keep your money safe versus the mattress. But then the advantages you have and disadvantages, you know, if you bounce a check, you know, or you went, my favorite example from college was, you know, explaining to somebody, oh, it, you know, I'm going to get a $2 iced tea. You know, it's like, well, do you have money? I think so. Well, you want to know because that $2 iced tea might turn into a $37 iced tea. And that's things I would see people all the time. Like, oh, yeah, it bounced again this week. My debit card bounced or my, you know, this or that. And it's like, yeah, that
over limit fee.
Yeah, yeah. That dollar candy bar just turned into a $30 candy bar because you just weren't tracking your finances well. And with my line of work, I work a lot with like CPAs, accountants, bookkeepers, and some of them I will, you know, come across them after they've just met with one of their clients. And they'll be like, yeah, you know, so-and-so is really angry right now. I'm like, why? Well, we just did their books. You know, this year they paid, you know, $1,500 in bank fees. I'm like, that sounds like a lot of money, $1,500. They're like, oh, yeah, that's cheap. Other people, you know, $4,000 to $6,000. And I'm like what? You know, what type of fees?
$4,000 to $6,000 in bank fees?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And all of them are insufficient funds fees.
Yeah.
All of them.
Or over limit, you know, over your credit
limit,
line or whatever.
Whatever. Yep, yep. And it's
But it's worse than that, though. Let's say that we're talking, I don't even want to think about $6,000 in bank fees, but let's say it's $1,500. You're out of pocket more than that because that's tax free. If you spend $1,500 on bank fees, mm-hmm. you had to earn, you know, a typical tax rate, at least $2,000 to have the $1,500 to pay that.
Yep. Yeah. No, that's a great point. And let's just talk minimum or not minimum wage. Let's talk $15 an hour because that's the hot number, right? So let's just take $2,000 divided by 15. You worked 133 hours.
Typically, what, 2.5 weeks, right?
Yeah. 2.5. Yeah.
No, more than three weeks.
No, yeah.
I mean, depending on how many, I mean, based on a
but three and a half
40-hour week.
So almost a month's worth of labor to just give to the bank.
Yow.
Because your left hand doesn't know what your right hand's doing. That's not good. So that's my thought. That's my proposal that we as a community reach out to banks and say, hey, don't you want more customers? I mean, that's essentially what they get out of it. They get the idea of basically free exposure to people who are someday going to get a car loan, almost guaranteed, who someday may get a mortgage, almost guaranteed, who might need another loan in life, which could be a something to help them bridge the gap between college if they didn't get enough college loans, could be a credit card, you know, all these things that banks actually sell. They come in, they teach these classes, and they're giving to the community. It's also marketing and advertising for them. But as a result, what they get in return a few generations down the road is less people defaulting on their loans. So, and more people paying interest, but paying it effectively, having the means to get loans and lend stuff and all of that. So long term, I think it's actually would be a really positive thing for banks.
Less staff to deal with delinquents and collections, and which drives up the cost.
Yeah, I would say that delinquency is probably the biggest expense for any business, not even just banks, but like even my small business, you know, that's a chasing down money. So if the banks had a way to, you know, build better customers long term and help society along the way, help students not have to file for bankruptcy, help people grow up understanding how to budget, understanding interest. Maybe they put more money into investments, which banks make a ton of money off of as well.
I'm going to throw a quick plug out here. There is a fella out there. A lot of people in the community know him. His name is Judge John Ninfo.
Okay.
And Judge Ninfo has been a bankruptcy court judge. And one of the things that John does is he goes out and he does presentations. He's written a lot of books, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, just Google him, N-I-N-F-O. And he's right here in the Rochester area. And he talks about this. He does counseling. One of his strong suits is counseling kids on how to pay for college.
Yeah.
Yep. Because if you just go out there and you sit in front of an admissions officer, you're looking at this person and you're thinking, you know, you're in the college milieu there, and you're thinking, okay, so he's an academic. Mm. No, he's not.
Yeah.
He's a salesman.
Yep.
What you want to think about when you're talking to an admissions officer is car salesman.
Yeah.
You're sitting in a car dealership, except they're selling not, you know, the latest SUV, they're selling you a college education. And so, therefore, his job is to get as much money out of you as he possibly can.
Yeah.
So they trot out all these great ideas, all these great ways for you to finance college.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is debt.
Yeah.
And you got to be really clear on how much of it is debt. And it's worse than that because not only is it debt, it's debt that cannot be discharged in bankruptcy.
Correct.
So if you get in a lot of trouble, mm-hmm, at age 26, 27, 30, 31, you can't just write off those loans and wipe the slate clean and start over again.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. That was, was that about 8 years ago that went into effect?
Not that distant past, but relatively recently. But it's really bad news. And as the, you know, aid that the government provides to the schools goes up, the price of your education goes up.
It does.
So it's just something that you got to bear in mind. Like one of the suggestions he makes is that there's all these scholarships and grants that are out there that are just there for the taking, and some of them are laughable. I mean, they literally have left-handed grants.
Sure. So, there's grant for anything. Yeah.
And a lot of them are not a lot of money. Some of them are $250, some of them are $500, mm-hmm, some of them $750, you know.
Yeah.
But you can stack them up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no limit to how many grants you can get.
So what you want to do, get your kid to, instead of spending, you know, more time playing that game online, get him to start searching out some of these grants and scholarships that he will definitely qualify for. Someday you have to write like an essay or do some kind of a minor project.
Yeah. Yep.
But,
yep.
you know, you could knock down your college cost by $5 or $10,000. Yeah. And every bit helps.
Yeah, no, every little bit helps. And something that that I don't talk about too often, I don't know if the listeners on the show know this or not, I did go to college, but I never completed college. I'm actually a college dropout. I dropped out, was kind of struggling with the track, the education track that they wanted me to go on. Had switched majors 3 times, still wasn't working for me because I was having issues with the, you know, I was working full-time while going to school, and the education just wasn't keeping up with the work because I was working in the same field. And in IT, it just moved so quick. And I'm like, guys, I can't take this class. This is 4 years ago. I'm not learning anything. So it was kind of a constant battle back and forth. My company started doing well. I dropped out of school, never went back. And because of that, I had significantly less student debt, significantly less than a lot of my friends.
Makes a
and
huge
it was
difference.
Still a lot of money. I think it was still at least $12,000 or something like that for a year and a half's worth of school. And I didn't live on campus. I didn't have a meal plan. And it was still a tremendous amount of money. So maybe we'll talk just a little bit more about this on Friday, guys. So thank you so much for joining us here on Radio Free New York. And I'll leave you guys with Jason's quote, "You can't have wine on a beer budget." So I'll see you guys on Friday.